Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for: freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
Here we go again. What is going on? What happened to my music? I wanted to hear more of my music while I listen to Colin Kaepernick make a complete and utter a-hole of himself. Yeah, I'm not going to pull any punches today. I'm going to tell you the way things are. I take deep pride in my country. I take great pride in the United States of America. I take great pride in the symbol of our liberty and our freedom, which is our flag, and I take great pride in the words which exemplify that liberty and our Constitution, the national anthem. And you know what? Anybody making $114 million within the confines, and no, not even the confines, because they are free of confines that are provided and imposed upon people by other nations, within the liberty of the United States, anybody who doesn't understand and appreciate and respect that is indeed exactly what I called them. Welcome to the extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. You've been hearing it all day. I've been listening to ESPN radio all morning. I've been listening to news radio all morning. I've been listening to, commentary from players and other people all day long. And guess what? I am rocking and ready to go. I've got more to talk about than you probably even want to hear, but I'm going to give it to you because I think it is that important. We appreciate you joining us right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. It is going to be a very heavy, Colin Kaepernick-centered type of broadcast this afternoon, because it simply needs to be. No disrespect to the Tigers or the Indians and the ongoing fight for the American League Central, but today it doesn't matter a whole lot. No disrespect to the National Football League's Tony Romo story and Dak Prescott in Dallas and all of these things, and Josh Gordon's return to action for the Cleveland Browns and catching a touchdown pass his first time back, a bomb, well, about a 44-yarder, I think, from Robert Griffin. No disrespect to any of those guys and the other normal stories we would be covering on a day like this Monday afternoon edition. But today, it is going to be very, very heavily centered on Colin Kaepernick and what he has done and what he proclaims that he will continue to do in protesting the United States of America and its culture, its society, its laws, its law enforcement, and everything that has made it so. So with that in mind, we welcome you to the program. Bob France with you. Jim Cushlin is back as well from a success. Well, I didn't even ask you, Jim Cushlin, a successful Friday night football gig?
Well, it was successful from my point of view, but that's about it. Now, it was unfortunately a bad day for Monroe up on our, as I broadcast up on our sister station, Nash Icon 98.3. But it was one of those Murphy's Law games, Bob. Everything could go wrong. Fumbles, no. Starting quarterback in his first carry, poor guy, broken collarbone. It was one of those nights.
But you didn't call the wrong names or anything, right?
No, I did not.
So it was a great game then.
That's what I mean. From my point of view, it was fine.
All right, Kush. Well, welcome back. Appreciate you being here as well. Feel free to chime in as we go, but I do have a lot of things that I want to monologue about as I invite you to dial us up to at 866-240-1065, 866-240-1065, and make sure that you are prepared to hold a little bit because we do have a lot of ground to cover. Don't forget Twitter and Facebook as well. You can use either one or both of those platforms to comment on what we're talking about. Find us on Twitter at Sports Radio 106.5. Find us on Facebook at 106.5 The Ticket. Either way, we'll get your thoughts up and on the radio. We will we'll read comments that are appropriate, not disrespectful, meaning profane, and that are germane to the discussion. Colin Kaepernick said the following about the his decision to not stand for the national anthem during the game, or before the game, I should say, on Friday night, his San Francisco 49ers third pregame of the season or preseason game of the schedule. He said, "I am not going to stand to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. He went on to say that people in this country are murdering people and getting free paid leave on it without being held accountable, a clear reference to police. And he later went on in an interview yesterday, in a press conference type setting yesterday, at the 49ers facility to explain himself further and to double down and say he's going to continue with this course of action. Now, that was the initial commentary that set off 48 hours of social media reaction that I can't really put into words. It was incredible. And almost every other tweet that you read either was condemning him for such incredibly disrespectful actions by not standing for the anthem, or remarks based upon what he said, condemning those remarks, or defending him and his right to free speech. And how can anybody oppose him for wanting to do something that he believes to its core, to his core, and that, you know, we live in a nation with a First Amendment, and therefore he's got the freedom to do that. So how can anybody condemn him for doing it? That's essentially what 48 hours of social media was like. I know, because I was right in the thick of it. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed every bit of it from the standpoint of Americans getting involved in this discussion. Well, let me backtrack for just a second here. Understand this, to anybody listening to the sound of my voice right now, understand this. Those who are making Colin Kaepernick's protest an issue of freedom of speech, and since he has free speech, that should be the end of the story. You're not paying attention, and you don't understand what this is all about. This Colin Kaepernick story is not about freedom of speech, because no one is trying to silence his freedom of speech. No one is trying to silence anybody else's freedom of speech, except for those who have criticized Colin Kaepernick. Those people should have their free speech shut down, according to those who agree with Kaepernick, and that's the ultimate irony of all of this. But let me make my point clear. I am very critical of Colin Kaepernick in this situation. But I absolutely defend his right to do what he is doing and to say what he is saying. Anyone who believes in the flag also believes in the Constitution, including its First Amendment. So those of us who are upset with him for not standing for the flag and for the anthem are not saying that he should be compelled or forced to do so, or thrown in jail or out of the country if he doesn't do so. We're not saying that at all, because we believe in the liberty, even the liberty to be a jerk, even the liberty to offend this country's patriots. And I don't mean the ones from New England either. We support all of those things, those of us who believe in the Constitution and the First Amendment. But people also need to understand this. Along with granting his freedom of speech to not stand for the anthem and to say terrible things about police officers that aren't true, along with granting his freedom of speech, the rest of us must be granted ours. And I want to use my freedom of speech this afternoon to be clear. I want to use my freedom of speech to declare that Colin Kaepernick is a disgrace to his team and his league and his country for the way he has chosen to use his speech. I take great, great pride in that flag. I have the deepest respect for it, its symbolism, and that of our national anthem. And when someone who has enjoyed all the benefits of this great country, all of the great benefits that this country has to offer, and then won't even pay respect to that very nation and the symbol that it represents, I do have a great problem with that. You see, that flag represents so much more than most people will ever bother to understand and realize. You just think, well, everybody's got a flag. We got a flag. Canada's got a flag. France has a flag. Everybody's got a flag. No big deal. Everybody's got to have something. But it is so much more than that. That flag represents the blood of countless American patriots who sacrificed everything they had to bring freedom to this land, to bring freedom to people like Colin Kaepernick, freedom to do asinine things. Freedom to disrespect even that flag. Freedom to even burn that flag. That flag represents the liberties granted to us by our founding fathers in their infinite wisdom. And it seems infinite, even though it's not. They're human. But our founding fathers granted us all of the liberties that the rest of the world wishes they had and have tried to emulate. That flag represents liberties that were defended by the blood of those heroes. Liberties defended so that Colin Kaepernick could have his little protest. So I have no problem with Colin Kaepernick exercising his freedom of speech. I support the First Amendment and freedom of speech. He can do that as long as he wants to. I just happen to have a major problem with the content of that speech. And the danger that comes with a guy like Colin Kaepernick using his fame as an NFL quarterback as a public platform to spout a bunch of misinformation and easily disproven lies, all part of a false narrative advanced by an agenda-driven media with no interest in truth and with plenty of interest in headlines and fomenting discord and divisiveness among the people, is that there might be some young people. The danger here is there might be some young people who actually believe him. And that's why I take this so personally, because I'm very, very concerned for the future of our country. This country, in 2016, this is as divided as we have been along racial lines, I believe, since 1964 in the passage of the Civil Rights Act. And it's important that we target that and note that. Because in the days prior to, and in the months prior to the passage of the Civil Rights Act, and certainly even in the days following it, there was a lot of racial discord in this country. There were a lot of people who felt like, we don't want to have civil rights for everybody. We don't want to have everybody all banded together. We kind of like this separate but equal type thing. And that led to some very seriously powerful messages being sent by, yes, athletes using their fame as a public platform to shout out for equality. And those things, as we have kind of come to evaluate them in the last several decades, we have come to respect and honor because there were not civil liberties for everyone at the time. There wasn't equality for everyone at the time. And so when African-American athletes like Jim Brown and then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and, you know, Tommy Smith and John Carlos at the Olympics, when those individuals spoke out, it was controversial to say the least, but looking back, they had a pretty good reason to speak out. But the 1960s was a very, very different time than 2016. This is not pre-Civil Rights America. This is not Jim Crow America. This is a country that provides the greatest opportunity for success and for personal achievement in the entire free world for people of all colors. And that is something that I again, take very, very seriously. That flag, do you know what that flag represents, among other things? It represents our way of life. It represents capitalism. And it is upon capitalism that someone like Colin Kaepernick has built his fortune. Team owners have been able to use the capitalist free market society to enrich themselves, to be able to create a league like this that is able to pay someone like Colin Kaepernick, a guy who, as it turns out, pretty much can't play his position on the football field very well. He passes judgment on cops far better than he passes footballs. Let's just suffice it to say that. But it allowed him to make $114 million. Does Colin Kaepernick think he can make that money anywhere else? Do you think he could find another country that's less oppressive that would pay him $114 million to throw a football or to run with one? I got news for him. There isn't one. Those opportunities come in a country represented by that flag because of the freedoms represented by its constitution. It is almost like a Holy Trinity. For those who are Catholic, you understand the Trinity. The Constitution, the flag, the anthem, and the people all kind of work together. They all represent one another. I find it incredibly offensive for Colin Kaepernick to declare that the police are targeting people of color, specifically for being people of color. And that is one of the things that he said in his press conference yesterday that I will play for you. It is incredibly offensive for him to say that police officers are murdering people and getting away with it because of his anecdotal one or two examples where he said, I saw a video and I know what it showed. Even though most of the time he has no clue what it showed. Investigations haven't been done. Forensics haven't been done. People have no idea what they see most of the time. Most of the time, what they see on a video is not the full story. But why do I find it so incredibly offensive? I find it so incredibly offensive for the same reason I found it incredibly offensive when Isaiah Crowell of the Browns posted that Instagram picture of a police officer being beheaded with his comments saying, well, essentially supporting the action. I don't haven't memorized exactly what his Instagram comment was. But what I said about Crowell, I will now say about Colin Kaepernick. This man lives and works every single day of his life under the dedicated protection of armed police officers. Do you understand that? When he goes to practice at the 49ers practice facility, there are armed officers outside that building making sure nobody gets inside who could do harm to those players. When he plays a home game in San Francisco at the 49ers stadium, there are armed officers protecting him and his teammates from fans who might be seeking simply autographs and harassing people, can I take a selfie with you? Or who might wish to do them harm. Armed officers. Outside the stadium, inside the stadium, down in the tunnels, outside of the locker room. Armed officers. When the 49ers go on the road, Colin Kaepernick and his teammates are guarded by armed officers who provide them escorts to the airport. Who then guard them at the airport so that no travelers can say, oh my God, those are the 49ers and bum rush them. Again, probably for autographs or pictures. But who knows who might have some nefarious motive in mind. It's not like we haven't seen athletes attacked before. But they're guarded by those officers. Then the officers guard them on the plane. I know, I traveled with a professional football team for a couple of seasons, the Oakland Raiders. I knew who the cops were, plain clothes, on that flight. And then who guarded them at their team hotel in the next city. Those same dedicated officers that Colin Kaepernick believes are targeting people based on skin color, then guard him and his teammates at the visiting team stadium. And then all the way home on the return trip in exactly the same way. And to me, it is unconscionable for a professional athlete, a public figure like Colin Kaepernick, to live under the protection and freedom of people that he simply despises. It makes me wish sometimes, and I know they would never do this because they're too dedicated to do this, but that the officers who hear his comments about their profession, denigrating them, saying they're less well-trained than cosmetologists. That's right. You'll hear that one later too. That these officers would one day just say, if I get assigned to the 49ers detail, I'm sick. Can't come to work today. And that, oh my gosh, I was with a couple of the guys last night, and guess what? They're sick too. I wouldn't blame them one bit if a blue flu took over. Let's see how you do, Colin, without the armed protection of the people that you despise. Better yet to Colin Kaepernick. And I'm just getting warmed up, by the way. Better yet to Colin Kaepernick. Why don't you take the advice of the African-American police chief in Dallas, Texas, Chief Brown, who stated after the protests and demonstrations in that city and after the murder of five police officers in that city, that maybe people who have such a problem with how police officers are doing their jobs should try to become part of the solution. Instead of protesting, maybe they and maybe Colin Kaepernick put down the football and take the test. Put down the football, take the police test. Get into the academy. Pick up a badge. Join the force. Then you can show us all how it's supposed to be done. Then when you are faced with a suspect threatening you or innocent civilians, you can show us the proper way to not get killed without using force of your own. You can demonstrate that to us. Come and train. Train longer than the regular people at the academy. Come and learn how to do police work better than the cosmetologists learn how to curl hair, as you said. But understand this, Colin, if you decide to switch jobs from that current profession that you're in right now to the police force so you can make a difference in the way minorities are treated in this country, that there's no more oppression of people of color, when you do this, understand you might have a slight pay decrease. You might go from a $114 million contract that you have right now to an annual salary of about 50 grand a year. So as long as you can handle that, how about you come and show us how to do things the right way? Of course, if that idea doesn't appeal to Mr. Kaepernick, then maybe he can start making a list of all the countries around the world that are more favorable to people of color, that don't oppress people based on skin color. Perhaps he can list all the nations that are not as oppressive as the United States. Then he can take a look at his own personal skill set and see what kind of living he could make in one of those countries. Once he finds his perfect paradise of a country, one that will pay him to throw a football while also being less oppressive to people of color than the United States is, I will personally help him pack, and then I'll ask for a postcard once he finishes his relocation. Colin, there you go. Couple of options for you. Now, am I saying that we should throw him out of the country? Absolutely not. To suggest someone should be thrown out of the country for exercising their First Amendment rights would be wrong and unconstitutional. I am supporting the Constitution and its representation in the flag and in the anthem. What I am suggesting is that he should want to find another country on his own. Nobody would throw him out, but he should choose to seek a place where he can chase his dream of a $114 million contract in a country where police officers don't have to use force to defend themselves against dangerous people. Maybe he'll find a place like that. He should chase that dream in a country that will offer him the same opportunities for success and enrichment that this one does, but without the oppression. Maybe that possibility is out there for him. I would like him to try. And I think he should want to try. After all, again, this country being so oppressive to people like him and his $114 million contract, well, you know, maybe this is just the wrong place. Maybe he needs to go out there and maybe he should want to find that for himself. Probably wouldn't even have to go that far. Maybe he'd feel more comfortable standing at attention in front of the Maple Leaf flag north of our border. Once the Canadian national anthem is played, he'd like to stand for that. After all, Canada's the only other nation in the world, to my understanding, that plays professional football. Let's see how much money he can make in Canada while keeping his conscience soothed, that maybe he's in a place that doesn't oppress as much. I'm sure the police up there never have to use weapons. Truth of the matter is that people like Colin Kaepernick have no earthly idea what's going on in the real world. He proclaims to be concerned about people of color being killed and no one being held accountable. If that truly is a concern, why is he sitting on the sideline in a football stadium instead of going to places like Chicago to try to take the problem head on, where hundreds of people are being killed, hundreds of people of color are being killed this year alone, thousands are being shot this year alone? Why doesn't he take that on? I will explain why as we continue this discussion. All right, it's 3:31. I told you this is going to be a central theme of the show today. What Colin Kaepernick did on Friday and what the reaction across the sports world has been over the last two and a half days now. Easily the biggest story in sports, and that's what we're going to talk about. I want you to be a part of it at 866-240-1065, but I need a timeout now. And on the other side of that timeout, we're going to shift gears to something a little bit more easy to talk about, and that is the start of the college football season. That's right. College football is right around the corner. In fact, next week, the college season gets underway. The week after, of course, it is the start, of the NFL season, and it begins, appropriately enough, on September 11th, when there will be plenty of flags and plenty of military presences and plenty of anthems all being sung, much to the dismay of someone like Colin Kaepernick. Maybe it's fate that he doesn't play on September 11th. The Niners are on Monday night, and they open up on Monday Night Football on September 12th. All right, so what we're going to do is celebrate the start of the college season coming up next. We're going to get a little preview of the Bowling Green State University Falcons. Head coach Mike Jenks is going to join Jim Cushlin here in just a moment to talk about the Falcons season ahead and also to talk about their first matchup of the year. Let's see, did they draw an easy matchup? Let's see. Bowling Green and Ohio State. Preview time coming up with head coach Mike Jenks. He'll talk to Jim Cushlin right after this timeout on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Enter ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
And hey, welcome back into this Monday edition of the Extravaganza here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Cushlin hanging out with you. We're taking a little break from our conversation because it's time to get you start ready for college football. We're going to have guests all over the course of the week on a weekly basis, you know, coaches, writers, everything. We'll talk Rockets and Buckeyes and Michigan and everybody else, but we start off, this is his new weekly spot, at least until, of course, the Maction weekday games begin, and on that note, we welcome in, he is the head coach of the Bowling Green Falcons, his name is Mike Jenks, as he's taking over from on the Bowling Green Falcons, and Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, how are you?
Hey, no problem, man, excited to be here, man, you got me going today. Let's get this thing rocking.
Absolutely. Let's start it right then. You got a tough one to open the season, obviously, no doubt about it, as you take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. 11 o'clock the pregame time, by the way, over on our sister station, Talk Radio 1470, coming up on Saturday. And let's just start right there. Obviously, you know, as a Mid-American Conference school, these types of games in out-of-conference come up on the schedule usually once a year. You go on a road to a tough, tough big boy, but you're at least staying in state. So what kind of things are you looking out of your team in a game like this against the Buckeyes?
Well, you know, I was at the getting lunch this afternoon, and the owner of the store here in Bowling Green, you know, had an Ohio State shirt on, and that's, you know, that's something I got to get used to. You know, you're sitting back in Texas, you got Texas A&M, Tech, Baylor, TCU, you got a bunch of schools that you know, they fight for bragging rights in the state, and I'm having to get used to everywhere you go, everybody's got we've got this whole Buckeye Nation thing going on here. But yeah, so the guy tells me this morning that the earth's going to explode if we beat Ohio State. So you know, so that kind of puts things in perspective for me.
And that's probably a little bit of truth, as if I'm not mistaken, there's still not been an in-state school to beat the Buckeyes in, well, pretty much forever, essentially. So he is kind of right. The earth would kind of rumble a little bit if you guys could pull off that upset. But before we get more into that, first of all, tell me how you're adjusted to your first season here at Bowling Green as the head coach. Obviously, we had spring games and recruiting and all that stuff, and then of course the last month or so with practices, and how has that all been going? And for you, is there any adjustment period in this regard? I know you've had other coaching duties in the past, but tell us how the process has been going for you so far in this as we approach the season.
It's been hectic, but it's been a fairly smooth transition, not only for myself and my staff, but I think for our student athletes as well. You know, number one, and probably the most important deal, and you know, I don't know that I buy in. I know I don't buy in as to this is a 0% chance of us going in there and getting a victory. These guys have been in big games. You know, they've beat three or four or four of the last Big Ten schools they've played. So I know it hasn't been the Buckeyes, but they're not afraid, and they've got a culture here that of doing things the right way and being in championship games, and that there's something to be said for that. And you bring about four of those offensive linemen back and a quarterback that's been there, you know, that gives you I heard it, sir, definitely gives you a punch of chance. But the transition has been smooth. You know, the community, the alumni, the staff, the faculty, I should say, they've been unbelievable in welcoming my staff and our families. And really, as far as the football part goes, it's all kind of relative once you get into it, you know. So excited about the year.
We're talking with head coach of the Bowling Green Falcons, Mike Jinks, and his new weekly spot is where we'll be talking to him, at least until they start the weekday games, that is, in November, every Monday at about this time here on the Extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket. And recalling something that you had basically said, and I'll be paraphrasing here because I can't remember the exact quote you said. When you were hired, you basically said, look, we're going to keep this up-tempo offense that's been going. We have the personnel to do it. We have the system in place, and I intend to continue that. I'm paraphrasing, but unless I'm wrong, that's more or less what you had said. So you still want a team that is that high-powered offense, especially in the passing game that we've seen out of the Falcons the last couple of seasons. They were one of the best passing teams in the entire nation a season ago. And as I'm looking over some of the guys that you're bringing back, and you mentioned the line, and you mentioned the quarterback. I'm also seeing some running backs and some receivers and things like that. You have the personnel with the experience to do that. Is that still the game plan, especially offensively?
I think it went something along the lines of don't be an idiot. If it's broke, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix
it.
That was it. Yeah, that was somewhere around those lines. But you're right, man. We've got the personnel in place to continue to be in very explosive offense. Probably, if not the most important factor in them settling on me as their head coach was my familiarity with the tempo system. So, again, we will continue to play at a fast pace. We want to snap off as many plays as we possibly could and put as much pressure on our opponents as possible.
Absolutely, and as I'm looking through what you guys have, you mentioned the linemen. Nobody's younger than a junior on that offensive line at the college level, particularly at a Mid-American Conference level. If you can have a seniority, pun intended, on the offensive line, that's always a good thing. You got Ronnie Moore's come back, Fred Coppett's come back, Napke's, of course, coming back at quarterback. So personnel-wise, it probably made your job real easy in terms of who was going to get slotted where, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Right. There's a lot of experience and a lot of guys that have been in big-time games and made a lot of big-time plays. So you're right. You know, that's probably the biggest difference from our conference as opposed to the Big Ten. Now, our frontline guys, I'm here to tell you, can play anywhere. They truly can. And that's through and through our great conference. It where it becomes an issue, and when you're talking about that Power Five and that next level of teams, is depth. You know, so we return a lot of guys. Outside, we're losing Dieter and Roger, who's doing a great job with the Giants, by the way. Keep balling, brother. We've got some guys in place that played some last year, Derek Pudavong and T.O. Redding, that have the skill set to be dominant players, to be very dominant players. We just got to see them do it in a ball game. And when they've got to gain that confidence and we look forward to them doing that.
Are you happy with the depth that you have, especially in some of these skill positions, receiver, running back, and so on? Are you happy with the depth? You feel like you have enough quality guys there that if those bad things like injuries, which we know can't be prevented, right, that you guys will be able to make and keep it all up?
Well, you can never have enough depth. Hey, I'm a first-year college coach, but not a first-year head coach. So I know how to answer those questions right there. You can never have enough. You can never have enough depth. But I like our football team. I like the way they prepare. We have more than enough talent to go on and continue to do great things at Bowling Green State University. Just exciting time to be a Falcon.
Let's go to the defensive side, Coach. Going to run out of 4-3, and as I'm looking at that, a lot of juniors and seniors. In fact, out of the 11, in theory, starters, only three of them are sophomores. The rest are all juniors and seniors. We saw the defense, especially in MAC play last year, make some strides in the right direction, and just like the offensive side of the ball, you got a lot of experience coming back there.
Yeah, we've got great experience coming back there. You're right on that, but, you talk about an Austin Valdez, Trent Green, those guys, Alfonso Matt. The thing about them is they really flashed at times last year, I think you would say. I mean, they made some truly explosive plays. The thing that we want to see happen, we want that consistency piece. You know what I mean? We want defense to be our calling card. Why can't you do both? Who says you can't do both? Who says you can't have a high-powered offense and really play great, inspired defense. I've known Coach Eliano for a while, and I know he knows my passion for that side of the ball, and I look forward to watching those guys get after it.
We're talking with head coach Mike Jinks of the Bowling Green Falcons. His weekly spot as we get you ready for a college football season. It all begins Saturday or Thursday or Friday or Sunday, depending on your team. But for the Bowling Green Falcons, it is Saturday down in Columbus against the Buckeyes. Pregame time, by the way, 11 a.m. for that noon kickoff. That'll be over at Talk Radio 1470 coming up on Saturday. And we'll get back to a little bit more on this game on Saturday here in a second, coach. But as I'm looking over the schedule after that, after this one, you get a home game against North Dakota from 1AA FCS, whatever you want to call it. Then it's Middle Tennessee, who's been a solid program for the last couple years. Then a road game at Memphis before you start Mid-American Conference play. So it's sounds tough when you talk Ohio State, but when you include the other three, give me your thoughts on how this out-of-conference schedule stacks up for the Falcons.
I think it sets up nicely for us. You know, getting those two ball games at home and getting the chance to play in front of our home crowd, and I think it's huge. And you know, one of the things that and I hope we got as many Falcon fanatics out there listening. We got to fill the doors up. You know, I mean, we played great football over the last 5-6 years or so, and it's time that we start getting about. You know, why can't we lead the country in student attendance? You know, we. We need, you know, we've got 19,000 people, and over 19,000 students that attend this university. Hey, let's get half of them at the game every Saturday night, and let's have a party.
As we look farther, you know, into the schedule, when you get into MAC play, and obviously, I'm sure we'll ask you about this down the line this season when we talk to you more about this, but you're going to have those Tuesday and Wednesday games as part of MACtion, as we call it around here, and I can tell you it's probably going to be an adjustment period. Have you even thought about those yet? Because it is still weird for some people that there's a football game on Tuesday nights. That's just strange, but it is how the MAC likes to do things and gets them that exposure. Have those thoughts crossed your mind in terms of how you would handle things in terms of practicing and all that other stuff, or is this going to be a one game at a time and I'll deal with Tuesday games when we get to November?
Well, you know, as ball coaches, we like to kind of plan everything out to the nth degree, you know. So we've met as a staff and put together our calendar for the year and got a good idea how we'll handle MACtion when we get to the month of November, and really it's an unbelievable thing for our conference. It truly is. That's how you got a little country boy out of Texas that knows everything there is to know about the MAC, because as coaches, you know, we record every game that comes on TV. I don't care what night it's on, we're recording it. So I've watched a ton of games with this great conference and followed a ton of their teams, and just excited to be a part of it.
And for those who hadn't seen, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and throw these out there now. The MACtion games this year, November 1st, that's a Tuesday. You're at Northern Illinois, and that's a tough, tough team. They've won this conference, or at least the West Division, for a number of years in a row. Then on Wednesday, November 9th, it's at Akron. Then you get a couple home games, Tuesday the 15th, Kent State, and the finale on Black Friday the 25th against Buffalo. For those fans out there who hadn't seen that part of the schedule, Coach, we talk with Coach Mike Jinks of the Bowling Green Falcons. And last thing before I let you go, circling all the way back to this game against the Buckeyes on Saturday, 11 o'clock pregame time once again on Talk Radio 1470 coming up on Saturday as we're just about ready for college football. And even you said a few moments ago, Coach, even you'd be more or less surprised if your team was able to win this game. So that being said, what would you consider a successful day in Columbus for your squad?
Okay, now let me be sure. Let me set the record straight. Now that's what the owner of the restaurant said.
Okay. My apologies.
I'm one of those guys that tends to dance to a different beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like our football team. You know, no disrespect to Ohio State. You know, that's not my focus. You know, my concern isn't you know, on a national level. My job right now is to get 70 men on a bus. Get them to Columbus and make sure they understand what it means to play for something greater than themselves. To make sure that they understand that what you've got to do is respect the game and play this game the right way, and that's give everything you have for the guy next to you. And to this point, they've shown me no reason to think they will do anything other than that.
Good call, Coach, on that one. And thanks so much for taking the time. Best of luck on Saturday down in Columbus. It's the Falcons and the Buckeyes to open the college football season. And we'll revisit how that game went for you coming up on next Monday. Thanks so much for the time, Coach. Looking forward to it when we chat again.
Hey, sure do appreciate it, guys. See you next week.
That is head coach of the Bowling Green Falcons, Mike Jinks, joining us here on the Extravaganza. Jim Cushlin, and if he's there, I'm going to bring Bob back into the conversation. And, you know, when I look at this, it's always one of those things, Bob, when you have a MAC team playing down in Columbus, and we've all, especially Buckeye fans, know this one very, very well. It's been a long, long time, i.e. never, that an in-state team
has that. A long time to you?
Yeah, I'm stretching a little bit. But I think that this team has the ability to at least play close, especially if, because we've talked, and we will talk again later in the week when we talk with Paul Keels coming up on Thursday when we get the Buckeye side of things. You know, this is a team, as we know, in Ohio State that is bringing in a lot of different guys, even though JT Barrett's back at quarterback. So in terms of on the field, they don't have as much experience as this Bowling Green team does, which if you look at depth charts, littered with seniors and juniors.
Yeah.
I expect a halfway decent game. I don't expect any 50-0 blowout that a lot of fans are used to. I think we're in for a pretty decent football game.
Well,
in this one.
I'll say this. It's because it's week one that I'll agree with you.
Okay.
If this was week six and Ohio State, which is breaking in all of those new starters that we're talking about, had their legs under them, had their chemistry, their timing, their rotation, and Coach knew how he wanted to use everybody, talking about Urban Meyer, then I think it would probably not be a very competitive game. And that's no diss to Bowling Green and Coach Jinks at all. Just it's Ohio State, and the talent level is different. And I think once they get it all underneath them, meaning their legs, I think Ohio State's going to be a world of trouble for almost anybody in the country. Maybe with the exception of Alabama, Clemson, and we'll see about Michigan State and others. So
sure,
it's not a knock on the BG thing. But because it is week one, and they don't have all of the above, they don't have the everything timed up yet, and they don't have first-time starters with their feet wet, getting their bearings and an understanding of what's expected of them and all of those sorts of things, because nothing they can do in spring or in summer camp can get them ready for game action. Because of that, and with a little more experience, you know, BG could potentially stay in this game and make it a competitive game into the second half. And so I think that's possible. But I think that if this was week five or six or seven, probably not as much. But it's a good time right now for them to go down there and really give Ohio State a real test and maybe see what they've got.
Here's kind of what I'm almost expecting, especially if it takes a little while in this game for the Buckeyes to gel and Bowling Green is playing as close to mistake-free football as they possibly can. Do you remember 2 years ago when they opened the season against Navy and, quite frankly, the Buckeyes won that game? They looked awful. That's almost what I'm expecting out of this one, because this is still a talented Bowling Green team. They've been to the top of the MAC these last couple years, and they have some of the firepower and upperclassmen on the roster, offense and defense, to do it. And that, for me, that's kind of what I'm expecting. If I'm looking at it from the Bowling Green side of things, if they play very few mistakes and it takes a little bit for the Buckeyes to gel, I almost expect a replay of what we saw 2 years ago to open the season when the Buckeyes played Navy.
I'm not going to predict that, but I like the thinking, and I think it's sound, and I think it's reasonable. I really do. And by the way, just a side note here before we get out for the top of the hour, and on the other side, we're going to get back to the discussion of Colin Kaepernick, everything that he said, everything that he's doing, what the reactions have been, including from his former Ohio, not his former Ohio, former Ohio State Buckeye, and his former teammate on the Niners, Alex Boone, among those who are speaking out pretty strongly objecting to Colin Kaepernick's viewpoints on all of this stuff. We'll get into all of that in the next hour, but let me just say this to wrap this up. I really, really, as I sat and listened to Coach Jinks there as I was finishing up the rest of my work, I like listening to him. He reminds me, personality-wise, of his predecessor, Dino Babers.
Yeah.
I thought Dino Babers, every time we interviewed him, Jim, last year, it was such an entertaining conversation.
Yes, it was.
After a win or after a loss or during a bye week, doesn't matter. Just great football talk with a great football mind and an entertaining conversation with Dino Babers. What you just had with Mike Jinks was so very similar to that. I just like good people, and I like good people who are willing and able to not give you media speak.
Right.
Let me rephrase. Coach speak to the media, where they're just going to give you the generalities, you know, and the cliches and all of that other stuff. And we're going to do our best. The Bill Belichick type of thing, but to a lesser degree. I like people who speak. I like people who are willing to open up. And Coach Jinks just did that. I loved that conversation, and I can't wait till I get back on the regular rotation of talking to Coach Jinks myself next
week.
Well,
that's, so. Monday's at 3:30 until we get to a Maction, and then we'll figure out a new time.
Good stuff, Jim Cushlin. All right, thank you to Jim, and thank you to Coach Jinks for that outstanding conversation. Looking forward to seeing the Falcons and the Buckeyes in action, and, of course, talking to him again next week. Okay, we'll get out now for that top-of-the-hour break. As I mentioned, we'll get a sports center here. And I want to come back. I'm going to play for you what Colin Kaepernick said at the press conference yesterday after 48 hours of social media, talk radio, and blogosphere fighting over what he had to say. I want to play his response to that. I'm going to give you more of my response to that. And then I want to hear your response to that. How does that sound? Next hour is going to be very, very explosive, and I'm looking forward to it. Keep it dignified. Keep it within the realm of civil conversation, no matter what your opinion is. That's the way we rock and roll around here on the Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
It's something that I've seen, I've felt, wasn't quite sure how to deal with originally, and it is something that's evolved. It's something as I've gained more knowledge about, you know, what's going on in this country in the past, what's going on currently. These aren't new situations. This isn't new ground. It's things that have gone on in this country for years and years and have never been addressed, and they need to be. Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
Hour number two of the Extravaganza underway with the unenlightened words of a very unenlightened man, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, Colin Kaepernick. And welcome back as we continue. I want to open up the phone lines. We had some people on hold when we went to Coach Jinks in the last half hour. Coach Jinks with Jim Cushlin talking Bowling Green football. So I want to get those callers back and anybody else who's ready to go. Get in line now. We'll get you up and on the radio as soon as possible. We are going to spend this hour on Colin Kaepernick, and we're going to talk more about what it is that drove him to say the things that he said that were so wildly inaccurate, disrespectful, and unnecessary when it comes to our flag and our national anthem. We're going to talk about some of the reactions that other players have been giving to Colin Kaepernick and his statements, including the reaction of one of his former teammates in San Francisco, now an offensive tackle with the Minnesota Vikings, former Ohio State Buckeye All-American beast Alex Boone, who is from Lakewood out in the Cleveland area, Lakewood St. Ed. So we're going to talk about all of that stuff. Also, an interesting reaction from Ben Garland, who is an Air Force captain. The Atlanta Falcons, Ben Garland, was an Air Force captain, and he weighed in on Colin Kaepernick's protest against the flag and against the national anthem. So we're going to get into all of that stuff as we continue right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. I want to play for you a little bit more. You just heard a couple of sound bites of Colin Kaepernick's comments. If you just turned on the radio and you aren't familiar too much with the discussion, Colin Kaepernick did not stand for the national anthem before the game on Friday. It apparently was the third straight preseason game in which he did not stand to show pride in the flag or the anthem or respect to the country and those who keep her safe. But it was the first time it was noticed. And when it was noticed, people across social media wanted to know why. The statement he made did not sit well with a lot of social media. He said, "I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag or for a country that oppresses black people and people of color." He went on to say people of color are being murdered, not killed, murdered in this country, and people are not being held accountable, and they're getting paid leave as a result. So that's a clear reference to police officers. Well, after 48 hours of frantic social media fighting and scrambling and back and forth, Colin Kaepernick finally addressed the situation with the media yesterday. And the one thing that he declared is that this is a country of injustice and intolerance. And it's something that needs to change, and until it does change, he will continue to sit during the national anthem. I find that a little bit ironic considering the fact that the anthem might be the only time he's actually invited to stand, because he's going to be sitting on the bench all season long behind Blaine Gabbert, if he is even on the 49ers roster at all. His skill set is gone. He had one magical year in which he was a running and passing threat. They kept running the zone read option. They ran it all the way to the Super Bowl under Jim Harbaugh. Nobody could figure out how to stop it. Once they did figure out how to stop it and he was forced just to be a passer, he has been terrible. If he is cut by the 49ers, he and the other SJWs out there, which are the social justice warriors who are rallying behind him, will claim he got cut for his political views, when the truth of the matter is he's just not a very good quarterback. As I mentioned, passes judgment far better than he passes footballs. But he said he's going to hang in there and continue to sit until there's change.
Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
I made this comment in the first hour, and I'm going to make it again now. I'm waiting for Colin Kaepernick to provide us with a list of all of the countries in the world today who treat minorities better than they do here in the United States. Countries that are capitalist free market societies that allow anybody and everybody to reach, work hard, strive for, get educated, and pursue the American dream of business ownership, home ownership, et cetera, et cetera. Those things are available to all Americans, regardless of color, regardless of sex, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of a creed. Those things are available here, unlike anywhere else in the world. Anywhere else. I'm waiting for him to provide us a list of countries that would be better than this one, and perhaps he can consider maybe some citizenship there. What about the flag? Why are you disrespecting the flag because you don't like the way the country oppresses minorities? Why the flag? Why the anthem?
I've seen videos. I've seen circumstances where men and women that have been in the military have come back and been treated unjustly by the country they fought for and have been murdered by the country they fought for on our land. That's not right.
Murdered by the country they fought for. I would love for Mr. Kaepernick to send to the media, send to all the rest of us, some of those videos in which American vets are being murdered by this country. Not talking about by individual citizens. He said murdered by the country they fought for. And I assume he means the government. And I assume that means police. I would very much like to see exactly what it is he's talking about. So he will continue to sit during the anthem until something changes. When there's change, he'll stand. What precisely, Colin Kaepernick, needs to change?
There's a lot of things that need to change. One specifically is police brutality. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable.
That is a bald-faced lie. That is a lie that is not supported or substantiated by any semblance of fact whatsoever. And that's what makes Colin Kaepernick's decision to use his freedom of speech, which I wholly and fully support, because I believe in that flag that he doesn't. I believe in that anthem that he doesn't. I believe in the Constitution that perhaps he doesn't. I believe he has freedom of speech here. I do, however, disagree wholly and fully with the content of that speech. The statement you just heard there is an abject lie, that police officers are murdering people and getting away with it. That is a lie, and I will explain more about that lie in a moment.
Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
I would like to, like I said before, I would like for somebody like this, somebody who's going to use their fame as an NFL quarterback to give themselves a platform to speak out on these things, to have at least an ounce, a shred of evidence to back up statements like that. And until they do, if they're just going to give opinions, state that it is his opinion and not as if it's a fact, and then talk about going out there and finding a way to change it. Put down the football, or in your case, put down the clipboard, and go take the test. Join an academy. Join the force and show us how it's supposed to be done. When you're faced with a suspect threatening you or innocent civilians, you show us how properly to not get killed without using force of your own, because you don't want to have to be involved in a situation where you have to use force and then you get paid leave while the investigation happens. Show us how it's done, Colin Kaepernick. But if you think that was the worst, it wasn't. Not by a long shot.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have been targeted by police.
He said that. He didn't say, in my opinion. He didn't say, it appears to me that. He said it as if it was some sort of an accepted fact that people of color have been targeted by police.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have been targeted by police.
Again, a bald-faced lie. It's a lie. I have statistics that I'll share with you in a moment that expose the truth. And it exposed the comments of Mr. Kaepernick for what they are. And that is, again, an abject lie, a blanket statement about police choosing to kill people because of their skin color and getting away with it. But he's not done. He's not done offending the men and women in blue who protect his practice facility with their arms, who protect his football stadium when he's inside of it with their arms, who protect him at the airport, on the roads, and everywhere else where he and his team travels. They protect, these armed officers protect him. They protect the Niners. They protect everybody else while he despises and denigrates them once again.
So that's a large part of it, and they're government officials. They're put in place by the government. So, you know, that's something that this country has to change. There's things we can do to, you know, hold them more accountable, make those standards higher. You have people that practice law and are lawyers and go to school for 8 years, but you can become a cop in 6 months and don't have to have the same amount of training as a cosmetologist.
Wait, what? Did he really just compare police officer training to cosmetology? Did he do that?
The same amount of training as a cosmetologist. That's insane. I mean, someone that's holding a curling iron has more education and more training than people that have a gun and are going out on the street to protect us.
So once again, Colin Kaepernick won't stand for the flag, won't stand for the anthem. Believes that police are less well-trained than cosmetologists, and that police are out there targeting people of color, specifically to kill people of color. And he's not going to stand until something changes to protect people of color. The danger isn't Colin Kaepernick. The danger is that there are going to be people who listen to Colin Kaepernick and believe him. That's the danger. That's why people need to speak out. One of those who spoke out, by the way, against Colin Kaepernick, not standing and either putting his hand over his heart or at least standing at attention respectfully for the national anthem, again, is former Ohio State offensive lineman, a beast, who was Kaepernick's teammate with the Niners, Alex Boone. Alex Boone basically called Colin Kaepernick out and told him to show some respect for these American iconic values represented by our flag, the liberty and the freedom.
Surprised. I was upset and disappointed. I mean, you know, like I had said earlier, that flag gives you the right to do whatever you want. And I understand that. And Anquan said that, and I agree with that. But at the same time, you have to show some respect, especially in this position that we're in, where we're playing a game for.
Looks like I got a little tech glitch here with my audio. My apologies. He went on to say you have to show some respect, especially when we're playing a game for a living. And he said that had he still been a teammate of Colin Kaepernick's when Kaepernick started to pull this stunt about not standing, he said, quote, we probably would have had a problem on the sideline. In other words, it may have gotten to be a confrontation. It may have been a confrontation. Boone went on to say you have to show some effing respect for the people who served, especially people that lost their life to protect our freedom. We are out here playing a game, making millions of dollars. People are losing their life. And you don't have the common courtesy to do that? That just drove me nuts. Boone went on to say Anquan, talking about Anquan Boldin, said it this morning that Kaepernick had the right to do it, now a lion, of course. And I was kind of mad that he said it because I was like, God, if Anquan says it, I've got to go with it. Because Anquan was such a leader and such a smart guy, he gets it. But at the same time, I was upset with his choice to do that and to disrespect the flag. I want to play for you now some important information so that when you hear people like athletes like Colin Kaepernick spouting off at the mouth and proclaiming that this is some sort of an oppressive country based on race because police officers are out there targeting and killing people based on their skin color. I want you to be able to respond to those things with truth and with facts, not with emotional rhetoric, not with stupid statements like cops don't train as much as cosmetologists do. You have to have more training to hold a curling iron than you do to be an armed police officer. I don't want you to respond the way he did, the way he presented himself here. I want you to respond with truth and with fact. I'm going to play a very, very short, condensed version of some of the most widely available, accepted, sourced, and annotated police shooting statistics, and just shooting statistics in general in America, available. These are from government sources, university studies, and more. All of this stuff is sourced. It's not made up by a talk show host. All of this stuff is sourced. It's available in a book called War on Cops by Heather McDonald. And Heather McDonald took 350-some-odd pages and tried to condense it into 5 minutes so that people will understand the truth about what the danger is here in people like Colin Kaepernick and others trying to get you to believe that police officers are racists who are out there to kill people of color. Listen to some of these statistics. They are going to change your mind. They are going to open your eyes and your mind, and you need to hear them.
When it comes to the subject of American police, blacks, and the deadly use of force, here is what we know. A recent deadly force study by Washington State University researcher Lois James found that police officers were less likely to shoot unarmed black suspects than unarmed white or Hispanic ones in simulated threat scenarios. Harvard economics professor Roland Fryer analyzed more than 1,000 officer-involved shootings across the country. He concluded that there is zero evidence of racial bias in police shootings. In Houston, he found that blacks were 24% less likely than whites to be shot by officers, even though the suspects were armed or violent. Does the truth matter?
It should be pointed out that the second study that she mentioned from Harvard, the study was done by an African-American professor of economics, Roland Fryer. And Roland Fryer was a very, very anti, I don't want to say anti-police, but a very, very anti-police brutality individual, a very liberal-minded professor who set out during his study to prove exactly how many more African-Americans are shot by cops than whites are in given situations. He described at the end of his study what he said was the most shocking result of his professional career. And you just heard the results there. He studied over 1,000 officer-involved shootings. That's a lot. That's a good sample size. Over 1,000 officer-involved shootings, and found that police officers were less likely to shoot African-Americans than they were whites or Hispanics, despite being armed and dangerous. I think Colin Kaepernick knows about that study. Here's more.
An analysis of the Washington Post's police shooting database and of federal crime statistics reveals that fully 12% of all whites and Hispanics who die of homicide are killed by cops. By contrast, only 4% of black homicide victims are killed by cops.
That means of all of the white or Hispanic people in this country who are killed, who are murdered, who are homicide victims, 12% of them are from police officers. Of all of the African Americans who are homicide victims, 4% are from police officers. Yet we are told by the media, by Colin Kaepernick, by Beyonce Knowles last night at the VMAs, we are told that cops are out there to shoot people of color. That this is their mission. This is what they do. This is what they this is how they treat people of color, disproportionately shooting them. You need more facts, though, don't you? Fortunately for you, I have them.
But isn't it a sign of bias that blacks make up 26% of police shooting victims, but only 13% of the national population?
That's a common statistic cited by people like Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers quarterback, who has started this entire national controversy, melding sports in with these social situations. social issues, that the African-American population in this country is 13% of the total population, yet 26% of the police-involved shootings are of African-Americans. Clearly, that shows that African-Americans are targeted by cops, right?
It is not, and common sense suggests why. Police shootings occur more frequently where officers confront armed or violently resisting suspects. Those suspects are disproportionately black.
That makes sense, does it not? Police officers are more likely to be involved in use of force situations in places where violent crimes are taking place. That just makes perfect sense. Deadly force situations don't arrive in situations where there aren't violent crimes happening. Where are most of the violent crimes happening? Unfortunately, for everybody involved, it is predominantly within the African-American community, as the statistics will detail.
According to the most recent study by the Department of Justice...
Let me say that part again. This is the Department of Justice. This is the Obama administration's Department of Justice. It has been headed up, both of the terms, of President Barack Obama by African-American attorneys general, Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. If the Department of Justice is giving these statistics, I'm assuming nobody can claim that they are somehow biased or somehow manipulated to make it look like something that it isn't. According to the Department of Justice, here are the facts.
Although blacks were only about 15% of the population in the 75 largest counties in the U.S., they were charged with 62% of all robberies, 57% of murders, and 45% of assaults.
It takes one a few moments to wrap their minds around that, doesn't it? That in the 75 most populated counties in the country, African Americans made up just 15% of that population, yet were responsible for 62% of the robberies, 57% of the murders, and 45%, beg your pardon, of the assaults. Now, I ask you, given those Department of Justice-provided statistics, where are police most likely to encounter use-of-force situations? Colin Kaepernick needs to answer this before he declares flatly that police officers are out there trying to kill people of color because of their color.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have been targeted by police.
Before he can make that statement, he needs to answer the questions being raised here. 15% of the populations in the 75 largest, most populated counties in America, 62% of the robberies, 57% of the murders, and 45% of the assaults are being committed by African Americans. Of course police are going to be involved in more deadly force encounters with people who are committing violent crimes, not because of their race, but they are responding to the crimes regardless of the race. There's more. What about in the largest city in the country? The largest city in the United States with roughly how many people? About 7 million people in the greater metropolitan New York area. Here's New York City.
In New York City, blacks commit over 3/4 of all shootings, though they are only 23% of the city's population.
Again, these are departments that police officers are murdering people and getting away with it. That is a lie, and I will explain more about that lie in a moment.
Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
I would like to, like I said before, I would like for somebody like this, somebody who's going to use their fame as an NFL quarterback to give themselves a platform to speak out on these things, to have at least an ounce, a shred of evidence to back up statements like that. And until they do, if they're just going to give opinions, state that it is his opinion and not as if it's a fact, and then talk about going out there and finding a way to change it. Put down the football, or in your case, put down the clipboard, and go take the test. Join an academy. Join the force and show us how it's supposed to be done. When you're faced with a suspect threatening you or innocent civilians, you show us how properly to not get killed without using force of your own, because you don't want to have to be involved in a situation where you have to use force and then you get paid leave while the investigation happens. Show us how it's done, Colin Kaepernick. But if you think that was the worst, it wasn't. Not by a long shot.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have been targeted by police.
He said that. He didn't say, in my opinion. He didn't say, it appears to me that. He said it as if it was some sort of an accepted fact that people of color have been targeted by police.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have been targeted by police.
Again, a bald-faced lie. It's a lie. I have statistics that I'll share with you in a moment that expose the truth. And it exposed the comments of Mr. Kaepernick for what they are. And that is, again, an abject lie, a blanket statement about police choosing to kill people because of their skin color and getting away with it. But he's not done. He's not done offending the men and women in blue who protect his practice facility with their arms, who protect his football stadium when he's inside of it with their arms, who protect him at the airport, on the roads, and everywhere else where he and his team travels. They protect, these armed officers protect him. They protect the Niners. They protect everybody else while he despises and denigrates them once again.
So that's a large part of it, and they're government officials. They're put in place by the government. So, you know, that's something that this country has to change. There's things we can do to, you know, hold them more accountable, make those standards higher. You have people that practice law and are lawyers and go to school for 8 years, but you can become a cop in 6 months and don't have to have the same amount of training as a cosmetologist.
Wait, what? Did he really just compare police officer training to cosmetology? Did he do that?
The same amount of training as a cosmetologist. That's insane. I mean, someone that's holding a curling iron has more education and more training than people that have a gun and are going out on the street to protect us.
So once again, Colin Kaepernick won't stand for the flag, won't stand for the anthem, believes that police are less well trained than cosmetologists, and that police are out there targeting people of color, specifically to kill people of color. And he's not going to stand until something changes to protect people of color. The danger isn't Colin Kaepernick. The danger is that there are going to be people who listen to Colin Kaepernick and believe him. That's the danger. That's why people need to speak out. One of those who spoke out, by the way, against Colin Kaepernick, not standing and either putting his hand over his heart or at least standing at attention respectfully for the national anthem, again, is former Ohio State offensive lineman, a beast, who was Kaepernick's teammate with the Niners, Alex Boone. Alex Boone basically called Colin Kaepernick out and told him to show some respect for these American iconic values represented by our flag, the liberty and the freedom.
Surprised. I was upset and disappointed. I mean, you know, like I had said earlier, that flag gives you the right to do whatever you want. And I understand that. Anquan said that, and I agree with that. But at the same time, you have to show some respect, especially in this position that we're in, where we're playing a game for.
Looks like I got a little tech glitch here with my audio. My apologies. He went on to say you have to show some respect, especially when we're playing a game for a living. And he said that had he still been a teammate of Colin Kaepernick's when Kaepernick started to pull this stunt about not standing, he said, quote, we probably would have had a problem on the sideline. In other words, it may have gotten to be a confrontation. It may have been a confrontation. Boone went on to say, you have to show some effing respect for the people who served, especially people that lost their life to protect our freedom. We are out here playing a game, making millions of dollars. People are losing their life, and you don't have the common courtesy to do that? That just drove me nuts. Boone went on to say, Anquan, talking about Anquan Boldin, said it this morning that Kaepernick had the right to do it. Now a lion, of course. And I was kind of mad that he said it because I was like, God, if Anquan says it, I've got to go with it. Because Anquan was such a leader and such a smart guy, he gets it. But at the same time, I was upset with his choice to do that and to disrespect the flag. I want to play for you now some important information so that when you hear people like athletes like Colin Kaepernick spouting off at the mouth and proclaiming that this is some sort of an oppressive country based on race because police officers are out there targeting and killing people based on their skin color. I want you to be able to respond to those things with truth and with facts, not with emotional rhetoric, not with stupid statements like cops don't train as much as cosmetologists do. You have to have more training to hold a curling iron than you do to be an armed police officer. I don't want you to respond the way he did, the way he presented himself here. I want you to respond with truth and with fact. I'm going to play a very, very short, condensed version of some of the most widely available, accepted, sourced, and annotated police shooting statistics, and just shooting statistics in general in America, available. These are from government sources, university studies, and more. All of this stuff is sourced. It's not made up by a talk show host. All of this stuff is sourced. It's available in a book called War on Cops by Heather McDonald. And Heather McDonald took 350-some-odd pages and tried to condense it into 5 minutes so that people will understand the truth about what the danger is here in people like Colin Kaepernick and others trying to get you to believe that police officers are racists who are out there to kill people of color. Listen to some of these statistics. They are going to change your mind. They are going to open your eyes and your mind, and you need to hear them.
When it comes to the subject of American police, blacks, and the deadly use of force, here is what we know. A recent deadly force study by Washington State University researcher Lois James found that police officers were less likely to shoot unarmed black suspects than unarmed white or Hispanic ones in simulated threat scenarios. Harvard economics professor Roland Fryer analyzed more than 1,000 officer-involved shootings across the country. He concluded that there is zero evidence of racial bias in police shootings. In Houston, he found that blacks were 24% less likely than whites to be shot by officers, even though the suspects were armed or violent. Does the truth matter?
It should be pointed out that the second study that she mentioned from Harvard, the study was done by an African-American professor of economics, Roland Fryer. And Roland Fryer was a very, very anti, I don't want to say anti-police, but a very, very anti-police brutality individual, a very liberal-minded professor who set out during his study to prove exactly how many more African-Americans are shot by cops than whites are in given situations. He described at the end of his study what he said was the most shocking result of his professional career. And you just heard the results there. He studied over 1,000 officer-involved shootings. That's a lot. That's a good sample size. Over 1,000 officer-involved shootings, and found that police officers were less likely to shoot African-Americans than they were whites or Hispanics, despite being armed and dangerous. I think Colin Kaepernick knows about that study. Here's more.
An analysis of the Washington Post's police shooting database and of federal crime statistics reveals that fully 12% of all whites and Hispanics who die of homicide are killed by cops. By contrast, only 4% of black homicide victims are killed by cops.
That means of all of the white or Hispanic people in this country who are killed, who are murdered, who are homicide victims, 12% of them are from police officers. Of all of the African Americans who are homicide victims, 4% are from police officers. Yet we are told by the media, by Colin Kaepernick, by Beyonce Knowles last night at the VMAs, we are told that cops are out there to shoot people of color. That this is their mission. This is what they do. This is what they this is how they treat people of color, disproportionately shooting them. You need more facts though, don't you? Fortunately for you, I have them.
But isn't it a sign of bias that blacks make up 26% of police shooting victims, but only 13% of the national population?
That's a common statistic cited by people like Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers quarterback, who has started this entire national controversy, melding sports in with these social situations. social issues, that the African-American population in this country is 13% of the total population, yet 26% of the police-involved shootings are of African-Americans. Clearly, that shows that African-Americans are targeted by cops, right?
It is not, and common sense suggests why. Police shootings occur more frequently where officers confront armed or violently resisting suspects. Those suspects are disproportionately black.
That makes sense, does it not? Police officers are more likely to be involved in use of force situations in places where violent crimes are taking place. That just makes perfect sense. Deadly force situations don't arrive in situations where there aren't violent crimes happening. Where are most of the violent crimes happening? Unfortunately, for everybody involved, it is predominantly within the African-American community, as the statistics will detail.
According to the most recent study by the Department of Justice...
Let me say that part again. This is the Department of Justice. This is the Obama administration's Department of Justice. It has been headed up both of the terms of President Barack Obama by African-American attorneys general, Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. If the Department of Justice is giving you these statistics, I'm assuming nobody can claim that they are somehow biased or somehow manipulated to make it look like something that it isn't. According to the Department of Justice, here are the facts.
Although blacks were only about 15% of the population in the 75 largest counties in the U.S., they were charged with 62% of all robberies, 57% of murders, and 45% of assaults.
It takes one a few moments to wrap their minds around that, doesn't it? That in the 75 most populated counties in the country, African Americans made up just 15% of that population. Yet were responsible for 62% of the robberies, 57% of the murders, and 45%, beg your pardon, of the assaults. Now I ask you, given those Department of Justice provided statistics, where are police most likely to encounter use of force situations? Colin Kaepernick needs to answer this before he declares flatly that police officers are out there trying to kill people of color because of their color.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have been targeted by police.
Before he can make that statement, he needs to answer the questions being raised here. 15% of the populations in the 75 largest, most populated counties in America, 62% of the robberies, 57% of the murders, and 45% of the assaults are being committed by African-Americans. Of course police are going to be involved in more deadly force encounters with people who are committing violent crimes, not because of their race, but they are responding to the crimes regardless of the race. There's more. What about in the largest city in the country? The largest city in the United States with roughly, how many people? About 7 million people in the greater metropolitan and New York area. Here's New York City.
In New York City, blacks commit over 3/4 of all shootings, though they are only 23% of the city's population.
Again, these are departments.
Listen to us live anytime at our website at 1065theticket.com. Now, back to Bob France, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, you've heard the comments from Colin Kaepernick. You heard the comments from Alex Boone, his former teammate. There are many other athletes, some supporting Colin Kaepernick, some opposing him. For me, for my take, I've told you before and I'll say it again before I go to your calls. I support his right to say whatever he wants. I believe in the First Amendment. He can say what he wants and do what he wants. My concern is the content of what he's saying, because he's going to convince people of things that are not true. And that is a very, very dangerous thing. Let's go to the phones. Terry is in Sylvania up first on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Terry, go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
First of all, I disagree with Colin Kaepernick, but he has a First Amendment right.
Yes, he does.
And the First Amendment right is also being threatened, not just by everybody, but by the politically correct crowd. They want to shut you up so you will never say anything opposite of what the way they think. And that is a big danger. It's happening on college campuses by professors who threaten the grades and do other things to get in the face of the students and get them to think like one way, their way. The second thing is, to Colin Kaepernick, I'm going to ask you one question. You know everything about race and that. I want to ask you about one thing. The two nuns in Mississippi that worked in the community, Catholic nuns, good people, worked in the community amongst the poor, and you killed them, and they were helping your people. Give me an answer on that, Colin, since you know everything. Have a good day.
Terry, thank you so much for your phone call. Thank you, and God bless. That's a very, very poignant question, and there is no answer to that, obviously, and I can only imagine what Colin Kaepernick's answer to that would be. But you're right. I defend Colin Kaepernick's right to have free speech because I believe in our country, I believe in the Constitution and the flag that represents it, even if he thinks that that flag is disrespectful because of quote-unquote oppression in this country. I will support his right to say what he wants, but I will then follow up defending his right to free speech by using my right to free speech and condemning his inaccurate information by pouring as much fact at you as you can possibly handle. Kent is calling us next from Toledo on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Hi, Kent, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Wow. All I can say is wow, but it's kind of what is expected. First thing is that last caller, and I don't want to get on callers, but you know what? No one feels good about two nuns that got killed. And just because they got killed in a poor neighborhood, don't tie it to black people thinking that, oh, it's okay to kill nuns. And so what, the two nuns got killed doing good work? That's crazy talk. And that's the kind of things we need to eliminate. Because that kind of perspective, even though it's a person's right to have that perspective, it's still not. It's not apples and oranges.
But you know what I think is fair, Kent, about that is when he said that, you know, if they were killed by an African-American and they were doing good work for the African-American community down there, why harm your own self in your own neighborhood? It does have a little bit of a tie-in to what we saw in Baltimore and Milwaukee and places where people are rallying against what they see as injustice, and they're responding by indeed doing that, harming their own neighborhoods, burning down buildings, shutting down businesses,
right,
throwing rocks and looting at places that are only going to hurt people, you know?
But nine times out of ten, when people do commit, I can say nine times out of ten because that's not right, but I'm sure it's well over 50%, when people commit crimes of whatever nature, a lot of times it's against people they already know, meaning that you're doing it and you're harming your own people or your own family, whether you're black or you're white.
Very true. Very true.
Yes, sir. That's just human nature.
Very true.
Now, the thing that I will say is this, and I was trying to explain this to some people at work today, is we understand that sitting down or turning your back during the national anthem, it hurts a lot of people in this nation. And for the most, it hurts all of us, really. But white people take a greater offense to it by the numbers. I ain't saying individually, because each individual is different. But by the numbers, white people take a greater painstaking view to that. And we understand
why
that.
Why do you think that? First of all, I don't know where you find a stat like that to show that. But even if it's true, let's just assume for the sake of our conversation that white people are more offended by it than non-white people are. Why do you think that is? Why do you think
I can tell you why that is. But first of all, you know what? One day, and I know this is probably off the map, but one day I would really like to be able to sit and talk with you in the audience for about 20 minutes and discuss this thing, because this is huge, and people don't look at the real problems. Everybody's screaming at each other and we're never going to get anywhere. And your facts against my facts, it's like me saying that that Jesus Christ exists. There's no evidence of that.
No, you can't do that, Kent. You can't do that. That's silly what you're saying. There's not my facts and your facts. There's just the facts. And the facts are compiled by the federal government, and the bodies can be stacked next to one another so they can be counted. And the people who pulled the triggers can be stood next to one another in a jail cell so they can be counted. The stats are what they are. You're entitled, I don't mean you, but in general, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts. The facts are what they are. And these shooting numbers are real. They're legitimate, and it's horrifying when you consider them.
But if I can ask you a question, what are the chances of us getting anything 90 to 95% correct? What are the chances of anything being 90 to 95% correct? Not very good at all. But when you look at these cases, it's overwhelmingly only like two or three people have been prosecuted for shooting an unarmed individual in the last 10 years. So you have to say, you know what? Just because someone has gotten off doesn't mean they're not guilty. And everyone brings up O.J. Simpson,
you're doing the same thing Colin Kaepernick tried to do, and I appreciate the call. I'm going to get some other people on the radio. You're doing the same thing Colin Kaepernick is trying to do, and that is to ignore the straight-up statistics. There are such a tiny number of officer-involved shootings, period, in the United States, let alone an even smaller number of officer-involved shootings of people of color, and you want to focus on one or two that you think somebody shouldn't have gotten off on as if that is somehow making the case. It is not. You're failing at that, Kent, and I appreciate your thoughts. Rashid next in Toledo. You're on the air. Rashid, go right ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yes, Rashid, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I find that statistic or the government statistic fires, you know, black crime or in real violent areas. You know, it was a time, and that statistic was taken in 2014. You got to look at the fact that a lot of police brutality happened way before 2014. You know, you had people, black folks particularly, getting lynched by white people.
Okay, Rashid, this is 2016, not 1960. So we're going to move
okay,
on. Okay,
it's
phone call.
That,
Charles
that,
in Toledo. You're next that, on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Charles, go ahead, sir.
Yes, Charles, you got me right here.
Yeah, I got you, Charles. Go ahead, sir.
All right, here's a truth. This is not factual all the time. You got real people out here that have gone through stuff like me. Now, I'm a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been pulled over. I've been dogged out. I've been treated less than a man by white police officers and by black police officers.
Hey, Charles, I can't hear you very well. Are you on a speaker?
You dehuman.
There you go. That's better.
You use a man. You think of him as not or as less than a man. And that's where you can really get brutality, is when you view him as less than a man or as a cattle. And you cannot tell me. I have firsthand knowledge of this. I've lived it. And most of the black men out there, probably to about 80%, will tell you horror stories about getting pulled over, treated like less than a man, treated like a dog. And you can't tell me you haven't seen these videos, and you can't tell me that you have friends that are black that would tell you any different. That
oh,
is
I most
not.
Certainly can.
This,
I most
this
certainly
world
can.
Is not.
I most certainly can. And I can
oh,
also
yeah,
tell you.
Yeah, and you don't never have them on. It's
thing,
funny.
Charles,
your own opinion. You never have those guys on.
Charles,
bring on your black friend.
Charles, here's the thing. Look. You
bring
you
them
can,
on.
All right, Charles, I got to run. Thanks for the call. I've got 4 minutes left of showtime, and you're talking over me. We can't do it that way. I can not only bring black friends on that I have who would tell you a different story, but black police officers who will tell you different stories as well, because they are the ones who are pulling people over. We can sit here and play anecdote for anecdote all day long. Well, I got pulled over at this time. This happened to me. Oh, yeah, well, I had this happened to me. None of it is going to do anything to advance this conversation. The conversation that has been started by Colin Kaepernick is that cops are out there to kill people of color. They're out there just targeting people of color for extermination because of their race. And the statistics prove it is 100 billion% false. And it needs to be called out as such so that we can have real substantive conversation about race in America. Those kinds of lies do not add to the conversation. And neither do anecdotes. Neither do anecdotes. Bob in Toledo is next. Hi, Bob. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
You know, here's the funny thing, and as you can see, now that he's brought this up and got this nationwide attention going on, mm-hmm. he's got everybody fighting with each other. When I think if everybody would step back and just take a look, this whole thing, this guy's career is over. You know, he's been a joke for the last couple of years anyway. He's, I'm assuming he's about to be released, by the 49ers anyway, so he's coming up with anything he can do to try to get his name you know, in the paper or on TV or whatever.
It does seem interesting. Yeah, it does seem interesting that when he was the unquestioned starter and when he was, you know, good enough to get his $114 million contract, he never said anything remotely controversial. Now that he's pretty much on his way out, as he's just, you know, he's going to be a backup or, like you said, be released, suddenly he's out there with this big social thing getting attention for himself. So,
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's incorrect. Obviously, like you said, a lot of his information is just,
his information is incorrect. He still has the right to say it, and I defend it, but his information is incorrect.
Sounds like he gets most of his facts off a couple guys on a bar stool.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, and thanks for the call. I got to run, Bob. I'm out of time. I left three people on hold. I tried to get to as many of you as I could. That's why I had to cut some people a little quicker than I normally would have, but that's the way that it goes. Tomorrow we're back again for the next extravaganza at 3 o'clock. But unfortunately, he gets his information from far worse places than bar stools, unfortunately, because that same stuff is available in so many places, and all of them have the same agenda. That's where we're going to leave it. Let's try to leave this conversation civilly. Let's try to leave this conversation more educated and more enlightened than we were when we came in, because that was the goal today. We'll talk more about this and more tomorrow on the extravaganza. Stay where you are. Drive time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.